Blog Talk Radio. What up, what up, what up? It is Tuesday, September 10th, 2019, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Coming to you live from West Fayetteville. I get used to that. So used to Raleigh. But coming to you live from West Fayetteville, or also known as to some of the natives around here, Vietnam. This is the Aunt Canary Experience. I'm your host, Aunt Canary. And tonight we're going to talk about some football. We're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick, Jay-Z, and some other stuff. We got until 8:30 to do this. But before I begin, I want to say something, and then I'm going to – I haven't done this before, so bear with me. What I'm going to do before we get started on any of that other stuff. I did a show on this a few years ago when all of this stuff broke out. Did a show, played the tapes where he explained why he decided to take a knee. And it wasn't protesting the anthem, wasn't protesting the military, wasn't protesting the flag. But the way racist people do is that they take something that you said and then they twist it. And that's how we got this big old mess. So we're going to talk about that tonight again. But before I start, what I want to do, I want to read you his stats. Because in sports, stats are very important. So let me just read you these stats, and then I'm going to throw out a challenge after I read these stats. And then I'll explain in just a second. Okay, now, Kaepernick played for the 49ers, as you well know. That's the only team he played for. He played from 2011 to 2015. His total numbers before he left, he threw for 72 touchdowns, 30 interceptions, 12,271 yards. He went to the postseason twice and went to Super Bowl in 2012. And the 49ers lost to the Baltimore Ravens 31-34. That was his only Super Bowl appearance. And this is all during the years of 2011 to 2015. So with all those numbers included, his total number percentage, 88.9. So 89%. Now, anything over 50% is good. He was at 89%. And he played 6 years. Okay. Now, and all this was breaking out, and still to this day, but not as bad as it was when everything broke out. You know, you had people, especially fans, and reason why we're called fans is short for fanatics, because a lot of fans think they know every damn thing and don't know nothing. And they were, you know, calling him a bum, blah, 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 he's no good and everything. So I'm going to give out the phone number, 563-999-3682, 563-999-3682. And I challenge anyone out there listening, if you got better numbers than this, please give me a call. We'll get you in touch with the NFL because according to you, you think the guy's a bum. And I just gave you the numbers. They're not perfect, but they're nowhere near him being a bum. So let me get that number out again, and I'm going to sit here and give you a few minutes. I'm going to give you a few seconds to think about it. Give me a call. 563-999 563-999-3682. So I'm going to sit here and twiddle my thumbs for about a minute. And, you know, if you think you can do a better job, call in and we'll get you in touch with somebody in the NFL and we'll try to get you a job. So, okay. La 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 la. Da 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 da. Da 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 Nobody called. Why not? I gave whoever was listening that had better numbers to call. We're going to hook you up. You can stop driving for Uber. Get your job in NFL. I mean, hell, they got it so bad that, you know, they're taking a quarterbacks that retired and putting them on teams. And roster spots. But this guy who took a knee to protest against police brutality and racism has been blackballed from the NFL. Now, before I begin, I'm going to read you some stories and give you some other stuff to think about. I don't dislike the NFL. I've been a fan of the NFL since 1977 when I watched, when my father watched the Dallas Cowboys play the Denver Broncos in the Super Bowl, and I've been a fan of the Cowboys ever since. And then when we got the Panthers here in North Carolina in 1995, I became a fan of theirs because they represent the state that I live in. And also like the Baltimore Ravens because they're based in one of my favorite cities in the whole wide world, Baltimore Ravens. So I'm not hating on the NFL. I'm not boycotting. Some people, now this is breaking out, they are boycotting. I'm not boycotting because I enjoy watching football on Sunday. That's all I do is watch football on Sundays. I've got fantasy teams. I've had fantasy teams for, been playing fantasy football since what? 20 years. This year I've got four teams. I went 2-1-1 this weekend, which ain't half bad. And if you don't know what that means two wins, two losses, and a tie. No, two wins, one loss, and one tie, which isn't half bad considering. So I'm not boycotting the NFL because I enjoy watching NFL. But I'm going to tell you what, the NFL can do some really stupid stuff. And this is one thing they've done that really doesn't make any sense. The man is protesting against this stuff. He didn't hurt nobody. He didn't call anybody out. You know. And now all of a sudden you got this hoopla, and the most of the people that are sitting there whining about it are these, I call them so-called super phony-ass patriots, you know, the ones that always barking about somebody doing something while the anthem is playing, and meanwhile, they're either in the bathroom taking a dump or in line getting wings or getting a beer or sitting on the couch or doing something else and making a big deal about nothing. These are the main people hollering and screaming the loudest, pretending that they're so patriotic, and they're not even patriotic. They're full of shit is what they are. That's exactly what they are. So this was not about protesting the anthem, which I'm going to play a clip in anthem because for those that don't know, and I played it in the last show that I did, the anthem is pretty funky. The third verse is pretty funky. If you don't know what it is, I'll play it for you. We'll talk about it. And as a matter of fact, back in the day before the military decided they wanted to pay the NFL all this money to get out here and do this stuff that they do on Sunday, there was a time that the players stayed in the locker room until the game started. And they didn't always play the national anthem before every game. That was usually for, you know, special games like the Super Bowl, you know, maybe some playoff games, but they never did it for every game. And as a matter of fact, when they take that flag out there on the field and, you know, the huge flag that covers the whole field and flap it around, that is against the flag code. But nobody wants to talk about that. And also, why don't they sing the entire anthem? We'll talk about that in just a second, because the anthem, like I said, the third verse of the anthem is pretty jacked up, written by a guy that was a racist. He owned slaves. And once you hear the story about him, he was a dick, if you don't know. But I'll tell you in just a second, so just hang on for that, and I'll give that to you in a few minutes. And this past weekend, we had some interesting stuff going on with brother Antonio Brown. He pretty much lost his freaking mind, but I'll tell you about that in just a second. We have got a phone call, and I want to check my list to make sure I think I know who this is. Let me hit the button. Hey, what's going on?
You talking to me?
Hey, I'm talking to you. What's up?
Hey, I didn't mean to call in. I just meant I was trying to just listen right now, cuz.
Oh, you're good. You're good. Well, I'm glad you called. I saw your number pop up. I know exactly who this was.
No. I'm listening to hear the knowledge you're dropping. That's all at the moment.
Okay. All right. Well, that's cool. You can hang on. Anytime you want to jump in, just feel free to jump on in. I was about to tell a little story. Well, a couple of stories.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I got you. In case you want to jump in, just feel free to jump in anytime.
Okay. I don't want mute. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, in case you were listening all week and all pretty much all month about Antonio Brown of the the Raiders, as an old boy used to say, he pretty much lost his mind where he was getting stuff on his feet, or he had frostbite on his feet. And then he complained about a helmet, and then he cussed out his GM, went ham on his GM. According to the reports, they had to pull him apart. Other players had to pull them apart. There was one report that said that he called his GM a cracker because his GM is white. And immediately after that, he got cut. And as soon as he got cut, he got picked up. He got cut on Saturday, early Saturday. He got cut on Saturday, early Saturday morning, and he got picked up, I want to say Saturday afternoon, by the Patriots. And there were people saying that this was a fix, this was a conspiracy, there was something going on that wasn't right. And they even had a video of him dancing and jumping around after he found out that he got picked up. So I say this to say that over the years, the NFL has done some, I'm going to say shady, but some stuff that, you know, you scratch your head as far as these players go. Now, you can get caught with drugs. You can drive drunk. You can beat your wife. You can abuse dogs. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff. And the NFL will give you a second chance. But if you take a knee in silent protest, you get blackballed. And I'm gonna read you a story in just a second about a guy that they gave another chance, and you will not believe the stuff that he did. Now, I'm not saying that Kaepernick couldn't have gotten another chance to come back in the league. Matter of fact, he got. And I was researching this. about three or four chances. Denver, Baltimore, and I can't remember the other teams. But when he took the NFL to court, he got a settlement. Nobody knows how much it was. And this is probably why he's not playing right now. But saying this, that you can cuss out your GM, almost get into a fist fight with him and all this other kind of stuff, get cut and get picked up. But you take a knee in protest and you cannot get a job in the NFL. And I want to say Stephen A. Smith said it perfectly. The reason why Kaepernick is not in the NFL is because of the fans. Because every time you turn around, you hear reports about, you know, that he might get picked up by a team. What the fans of that particular team are always crying and moaning and groaning. Well, he's going to be a distraction, blah, blah, blah. If they do sign him, then I'm not gonna go to any more games. I'm not gonna buy any more season tickets. So the owners hear this stuff, and what do? They back down because it's all about money. Because they figure if these people aren't going to the games because we sign him, then I'm gonna lose money. So it's not worth the risk, and we're not gonna do it. And so there you have it. Now who knows if he even wants to come back? It's not like I talked to him or anything. I don't know. I don't know if he wants to come back or not. But I know there were reports that there were some teams doing preseason, which I don't like preseason at all. I don't like it. I think it's a waste of time. And then, you can get players hurt during preseason. Like the running back from the Texans got hurt during preseason, out for the rest of the year for playing in preseason. They were getting quarterbacks out of retirement and putting them on teams. Now, if you got to go that, go that route and get retired quarterbacks to come back, but this guy right here, you don't let him play, there's something jacked up. There's something jacked up. Let me tell you this. Yeah.
Folks may not like what I'm about to say, but the facts are, at least the way I see them, is that football, i.e. NFL, is all about white power. Bottom line, of all the sports, it's the closest one to a plantation mentality, i.e. it's geared towards white folks. It is. They don't care. They don't give rat. They don't care two dicks about black fans. They really don't care. Okay. Black folks play the game. Black folks love the entertainment for the most part. But the players have no power. The players who are glorified for the most part are white. Brady, Breeze.
Yeah.
Yep. The guy on the Houston Texans. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They glorify those guys. Okay. They start off the games playing country western music.
Mm-hmm.
So the players for the most part, they have no power. They're afraid to speak up because the contracts aren't guaranteed. They can cut them whenever they want.
Yep.
They can cut them whenever they want, and they're structured so that they glorify the teams and not the individuals. If you can sell games with replacement players and people still come to see the game just because of the uniform that the players wear, that tells you that you as a player, you got no juice whatsoever.
Yep.
Okay, and it's all about body replacement.
Yep.
One person goes out, they stick another one in. Okay, other sport, they wouldn't dare have replacement baseball players. Or could you imagine them having replacement NBA players? Nobody would come see the games. I mean,
nope.
You get the Lakers out there, and LeBron's not up there, Anthony Davis is not there, but you got some other folks with Lakers jerseys on. You couldn't sell one ticket.
Yep.
Okay. But
that's right.
Therefore, no sports in baseball, and in basketball and in hockey and in tennis and in golf, the participants have the power. In football, those guys have no power.
Yep. Yep. And no guaranteed contract.
And when the do power moves, the whole system tries to come down on them, and the media helps them, i.e., what they're trying to do with LeVon, with Bell last year. Made him look like a criminal because he wanted more money, because he felt that his body was being abused, and he didn't want to be abused anymore.
Yep.
You know, so he looked like he's destroying the team. Oh, take it for the team. Oh, come out there and play. Take the money they want to give you. I mean, who does that? No one would tell you in your job, take the money they want to give you, come to work. if you don't like your working conditions and your money, you can leave and go someplace else. But players in football can't do that. You know, so that's just my take on it. If you guys make a bunch of money, because the league makes so much money, okay, but the bottom line is, look who's glorified for the most part, and look how they address them.
Yeah.
So that's my take for the moment.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I said before when all this went down that if Brady took a knee in support, if Aaron I think Aaron Rodgers, I think he supports. I haven't seen him take a knee, but I had said before that if Brady would take a knee, if any of these other, you know, high-profile white guys would take a knee, we wouldn't be having this discussion. We would not have this discussion. Because it's like, you know, when the black guys take a knee, then all of a sudden, you know, they get called out, you know, they get called sons of bitches and all this other kind of stuff and blah, blah, blah. But if somebody of prominence of white, you know, white guy would do this, we wouldn't even have this discussion. And a matter of fact, if a white quarterback had started doing this, we really wouldn't have this discussion because he'd still be playing. But, you know, but the guy with the afro, with the evil looking afro, you know, we can't accept that. So it's like, you know, so they did what they did. But it's really banged up. And the money.
Because if black folks really serious about this Kaepernick and this flag issue and this protest issue, all they have to do is just be serious about it and just boycott NFL games. Just don't go and don't watch. If you're that serious, you don't go, you don't watch.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, you can give those players some power. But right now, as long as black folks just go along and get along, those players have no power whatsoever, and they were still, just like this brother yesterday on Saturday at the game in Cleveland, he jumped to the stand, and the white fan threw beer in his face. Threw beer in his face. And he just came on down and ran away.
Now, oh, man, I didn't see that.
Oh,
I got to find that.
NBA players. You would never see an NBA player just run away from.
No. You tried doing something like that to Shaq when he was playing. No.
NBA player right now.
No, but. Yeah. Yeah.
But football
guy. Yeah, there would be a fight in the stand.
Beer in his face.
Yeah.
He ran away. Because he knew if he did something, if he punched that fan, his career was over.
Yeah.
Yep. Get cut and nobody
else I wonder if anything's gonna happen to the douchebag that threw the beer at him.
Yeah. Okay.
I gotta find that. Yeah. I gotta find that. But I'm gonna tell you this story right quick. Before we get into this other stuff. But I'm gonna tell you this story. Now I think I mentioned this guy's name before when I did a show. Name is Richie. Incognito, and probably don't sound like a name that you probably have heard or whatever. Now let me tell you this guy's story. Yep, he used to play for the Dolphins. Now he plays for the Oakland Raiders. Now, this clown, let me tell you this. Okay, he played for the Dolphins, he played for the Bills, and now he plays for Oakland. Okay. When he played for the Bills, he played 3 seasons with the Bills. When he played with them, according to a story I'm about to read you, he was having liver and kidney problems. So in April of 2018, he decided to leave, decided to retire. But he changed his mind and he came back, wanted to go back to Buffalo. He wanted a new contract. Buffalo said, "Nah, we ain't giving you no contract." So they cut him. So that was into that. But that's not what I want. That's not the issue with the story. The issue with the story is that he was sent to get checked out because people were thinking that he was having something going on with his head. He threw a dumbbell at somebody at a Florida gym and was rambling about the government. And then in August of 2018, he was charged with threats and disorderly conduct after an incident in a Scottsdale, Arizona funeral home following the death of his father. This is what he did, according to the cops. Incognito reportedly was upset with staff and began to damage property inside the business and shout at employees. At several points during his contact with staff, Incognito threatened to retrieve guns from his vehicle and return to shoot the employees. Once on scene, officers detained him as the incident was investigated. Based on the investigation, Incognito was arrested and held on misdemeanor charges of threats and disorderly conduct. Incognito pleaded guilty to misdemeanor disorderly conduct in Arizona. The other charges were dropped, and he wanted to go back to the NFL. He went to the Raiders, and the Raiders signed him. But see, that's not all of the story with the funeral home incident. What they didn't mention in the story that I mentioned, I think I mentioned the last time I talked about him, his father died. So his father, if I remember correctly, his father's body was in this funeral home. He went in there and told the staff at the funeral home that he needed to get his father's head because he wanted to check it out and see what the father died from, some crazy mess like that. And when they told him to kick rocks, this is when he decided he was going to tell them he was going to go to his car and get guns and all this kind of stuff. But this is the same guy that he came into the NFL in 2006. But he missed 2 seasons because of suspension or retirement. In the 2013 season, when he played for the Dolphins, he was suspended because he had he bullied teammate Jonathan Martin. And an NFL investigation found that Incognito and 2 other teammates had indeed bullied Martin and another unnamed Dolphins player while also directing racist taunts toward an Asian-American assistant athletic trainer. So this clown was not only having mental issues, but he was also an undercover racist. And he comes back and he gets a job in the NFL. And yet and still you have a quarterback taking a knee, protesting, silent protest, and he gets blackballed. You have players threatening to beat up the GMs, all that crazy drama. He gets cut. He gets picked up by another team. But yet and still you have a quarterback that takes a knee in silent protest, and he gets blackballed. Like I said, you can pretty much do anything in the NFL except kill somebody, and they will take you, and somebody will pick you up. If you don't kill nobody, you good. Somebody will get you. You can kill dogs, you can beat your wife, you can do all this other kind of stuff, but as long as you don't kill anybody, you can find a spot on somebody's team anywhere in the NFL. I mean, this guy was a knucklehead probably on steroids, wanted his father's head for some experiments, whatever he said, and he played for the Raiders. Unbelievable. Matter of fact, when this protest first went down, I didn't like some of the comments that Jerry Jones had made, and he's the owner of the Cowboys. I didn't like some of the comments he made because, to me, matter of fact, I think I put this up on Facebook, and I was serious about it. I was pissed off with him. I quit following him for a while because, you know, to me, he sounded like a plantation owner, because he's going to sit there and say, you know, my player's not going to do that. My player, blah, blah, blah. And that, to me, you know, how are you going to tell grown men what, yeah, I understand they play for you, but how are you going to sit there and tell grown men what they are and what they aren't going to do? Now, if they decided they didn't want to play, that would have messed your money up. And then, you know, but that whole thing to me, it just really, it ticked me off. And so I quit following him for a while because my thing with Jerry Jones at that time was like the plantation owner in the movie Django. What's his face? Calvin Candy. Because that's exactly what he's acting like. Because a lot of these sports, you know, especially football, they want you to shut up and run up and down the field. You know, as long as we're giving you this money, we don't want you saying nothing. You need to keep your mouth closed. You know, and what people don't seem to understand is that, you know, these are human beings. These are people. They are not robots. They don't run up and down and feel, you know, they have feelings. They can speak out against stuff. They have the right to do that. You know, we don't need, and I keep telling people this all the time, we don't need other people's permission to protest. We can protest anytime we want. You may not like it, but that's just tough. So to sit there and tell grown men what they can and can't do, what they're going to do, you know, you're going to stand up for that answer. No, you don't tell grown men what they're going to do. And a lot of these people that do a lot of this talking, you know, they're doing it from the stand. I think, and I've told a bunch of people this a bunch of times, you know, since you're so bad and you get on social media and you talk all this smack, why don't you find a player and tell this to hit that player in his face and see what happens to you? You know, it's easy getting on a computer and typing up stuff because, you know, you're, 2,000 miles away from or whatever it is, you know, and you're in your mama's basement talking all this smack. You know, you want to impress somebody, why don't you tell this stuff to these players in their face and see what happened to you? So, you know, when you go to the dentist getting your teeth fixed because they done punched in your mouth and you crying because, you know, so-and-so hit me in the mouth, then maybe next time you'll keep your mouth closed. But, you know, this thing that kills me all of a sudden, you know, people seem to think that they can tell other people what they can and can't do. But we can do this, you know. We can do this all day long, but when you do it, now all of a sudden we got a problem with it. You know, and I say this all the time. We don't need your permission to protest. You can protest anytime you want. Don't like it, that's your issue. Nobody, you know, that's on you. Let me look at. Okay, so what I want to do, I want to play this clip, and this goes back to exactly what Kaepernick said. This is exactly what he said, why he was protesting. And then you'll see how what he said got twisted into some other stuff because certain people twisted it into something because they wanted to make this seem like it was against the military and against the flag and everything they hold, you know, true and dear to their heart and blah, 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 and all that nonsense. Let me hit the button. Be right back.
Heated debate stirred up by Colin Kaepernick, the 49ers quarterback, refusing to stand for the national anthems of four games. Fans protesting his jersey. They're burning it. You see some of that right there. And now he's speaking out to defend his actions. ABC's Ryan Smith is here with the latest. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, George, Amy. Colin Kaepernick is speaking out about his protest, and he's not backing down, with fans by the thousands attacking him online for refusing to stand. As you mentioned, some even burning his jersey. The quarterback saying he's, by sitting down, he's standing up for what he thinks needs to change.
Colin, here's my salute to you.
Colin Kaepernick under fire from fans and fellow players after his refusal to stand up for the national anthem, doubling down overnight.
I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. When there's significant change and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, I'll stand.
Kaepernick going to run it.
The 49ers dual threat quarterback with the rocket arm and lightning quick feet staying seated during the national anthem at Friday's preseason game, telling the NFL Network, I'm not going to stand up and show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color.
I have experienced this. People close to me have experienced this. So it's something that needs to be addressed.
Kaepernick clarifying Sunday that refusing to honor the flag doesn't mean he's disrespecting the military.
People are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, you know, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody.
The 28-year-old, frequently outspoken on civil rights issues online, seemingly began his protest weeks earlier, sitting during the anthem for the team's previous two preseason games, though few seemed to notice. But after Friday's game, outrage, thousands flooding his Twitter page with comments. Giants receiver Victor Cruz saying sitting down isn't the right way to stand up.
You have to stand up there with your team and understand that it's this game, and what's going on around the country is bigger than just you.
While others defending Kaepernick, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban weighing in. He didn't throw a bomb, fire a shot, start a riot, throw a punch. He just sat there quietly. Kaepernick says the vitriol he's now facing is worth it to make a point.
I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, you know, I really respect you for what you're doing and what you're standing for.
The NFL telling ABC News in a statement, players are encouraged but not required to stand during the national anthem. But when asked this will get him cut from the team, the quarterback says he doesn't know, adding that if he's cut, he feels he did what he feels is right, and he can live with that at the end of the day, George.
Okay, Ryan, thanks. Let's bring in ESPN's Stephen A. Smith for more on this. And, Stephen, you've done a lot on this whole issue of violence. You've had special shows on it as well. What's your take on what Colin's doing?
Well, I understand it, and I respect it. I respectfully disagree with how he went about doing it because it's certainly not something that I would have done. But at the same time, we also have to understand that the First Amendment to our Constitution is a, you know, freedom of speech, a freedom of expression, and that's one of the things that he exercised here. He wanted to make a point, and as Mark Cuban pointed out, he didn't plant a bomb, he didn't shoot anybody, he didn't do anything. He made a silent protest. He's an unabashed supporter of Black Lives Matter. He addressed the issue of police brutality as an incentive as to why he was taking the position that he took. We understand it, and you know, a lot of people within the Black community, I can tell you for a fact, absolutely agree with him. A lot of people don't agree with how he went about doing it.
Let's get into that. What about the criticism about how he went about doing it? Some saying it's a distraction from his job.
Well, you could sort of, you could. That's a valid point in some people's eyes, but people take stances all the time. And you know, if you remember when Trayvon Martin transpired and other things happened as it pertained to the actions against African Americans, you had NBA players putting on T-shirts. Some people thought that was a distraction. Obviously, they beg to differ. You see silent protests that have been taking place in recent memory. People who are against the positions that these athletes take will always find an excuse to say that it is a distraction. But what they have to understand, particularly when it's emanating from the Black community and in particular a Black athlete, the mere fact that it's being debated or people are questioning whether or not it's a distraction, what you're saying to yourself is it not supposed to be a distraction? We're trying to bring attention to an issue. Colin Kaepernick obviously felt that way, and even though some people would disagree, and they certainly have the right to do so, there are others who would stand by him and say that they don't have a problem with what he's doing whatsoever.
What's this going to mean for his job?
Well, it depends. If he can still play, it won't mean much. It'll mean a lot in terms of endorsements. He's definitely going to feel the pinch there. And I think he spoke to the fact that he certainly knows that's coming. But as it pertains to him having a job in the NFL, I don't think this is an issue. I think the fact that he looks a bit subpar, he's coming off a season where he was a bit subpar, only threw six touchdowns, five interceptions, had a QBR of about 47. He doesn't look that impressive, and there's rumors as to whether or not he's going to get cut. In the end, if you can play, there will be somebody who will give you a job because their primary obligation is to try and win football games. If you cannot play, they will find an excuse to get rid of you. It is that simple. This won't determine his future as a quarterback in the NFL. His play will.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith, thanks very much.
All right.
Have a call.
Let's see. Let me hit the here we go. Let me hit the button. Okay. All right. Hey, how you doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Anthony. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
How's
the
family?
What's up? Everybody's good.
Yeah, hey, I didn't think you wanted me to call in on your show no more. If you didn't, I'm sure you would have told me.
Well, I took a little break. I moved and had some other stuff to take care of, so that's why I hadn't been on for a while. So yeah, still working.
But
out
I want to know this.
Still working out this new time. Yeah.
You know, even though the NBA, the NFL is 70% African Americans, but over 70% of the consumers are white. And that's where the difference comes. I have two issues. And, you know, let me say something else. You know, that was you remember the Atlanta Hawks, the mm-hmm. basketball team? They
yeah.
started
mm-hmm.
off as the St. Louis Hawks. And the reason they left St. Louis is, according to Mr. Brigg, who was a sports commentator, if the whites wouldn't support the team. They said they weren't going to pay money to see, and this is almost verbatim, to watch a bunch of gorillas in shorts running up and down the court. The blacks in the city of St. Louis couldn't support that team. And I don't think blacks in the United States can support the NFL. I mean, the tickets, what does a ticket cost? About $150
oh,
or something like that per game?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty steep. Yeah.
Yeah, the blacks aren't going to be able to support that team. And I tell you something else, who's going to be making up a lot of a percentage of the team is Nigerians. They're coming on like gangbusters. But what I was going to ask this, what is it that the NFL can do in order to stop? And, you know, we've had this discussion before, so-called police brutality. There's over 18,000 police departments in this country. The White House don't have any control over them. And actually, the people in those communities have control over those police departments. The city of Ferguson was about 70% black. And it's more of that now. And by the way, Leslie... Mike Brown's mother ran for city council and blacks didn't even come out and vote for her. But with the city being close to 70% black or over, should they not have the power to control their employees, the police department?
I mean, think about it.
Yeah. So if they don't like what's going on, they already have the power to change that. You don't need the NFL players to be risking their livelihood and making those public displays like that. And the one player was absolutely wrong when he talked about free speech. Free speech don't ring in a private workplace, only in public places. You can have free speech in the post office. You can have a free speech on the army base or working for the Congressional Black Caucus, but you don't have free speech in no private workplace. And that's the fact.
Well, like I said earlier, is like I remember back in the day when they didn't do any of this on the field. The players stayed in the locker room until the game actually started. So say that they weren't doing this and they were in the locker room, he was taking them in the locker room, and there were no cameras in the locker room, we wouldn't even be having this discussion. You know, because you've got no cameras there. And matter of fact, when he first did it, just so happened nobody was really paying attention to it. There was somebody took a picture because he was sitting on the bench. So if nobody even seen that picture and made a big deal about the picture, we probably wouldn't even be talking about this because nobody, you know, somebody was looking at the picture and started analyzing it and they said, "Oh, look at this." And then they started asking them questions, all this kind of stuff.
They were letting players stay in the locker room because of they taking their religious position. You know, if a person have a religious position against pledging allegiance in a ceremony like that, then it should be respected. And the owners allowed them to stay in the locker room. But as I said before, ain't nothing the NFL can do to stop what citizens have the responsibility and the power to do themselves, because ultimately those municipalities have to eat the liability that results from something that a police officer or their employee was a garbage truck worker, a public works fireman. What they do can come back on the liability of the city. And, I mean, and you know, here's another thing. Didn't Colin Kaepernick marry a Russian?
No. No, I think his girlfriend.
He got a Russian girlfriend.
I don't think he. No, no, she ain't Russian. She's, I think she's Hispanic or something like that.
Well, I think she's Russian. You better check on that. She's not no
sister.
Like,
well, she looks like, I think she's Hispanic, but I'll check on
just
that.
Like, wait a minute, I'll just like that. LeBron James. Hey, wait a minute, just like LeBron James in his Blaze Pizza franchises. In the St. Louis area, he didn't open up no franchise locations in the hood. They all out in the white community. And you know another thing. These football players for the NFL, they have money managers that manage their money. And their investments include GEO, which is a private prison, and the other organization, I can't think of its name, Prisons of America, GEO is out of Florida. They invest in these public stocks of these organizations. Not only them, but Goldman Sachs, Wells Fargo, Trump Holdings, the Fraternal Order of Police, your teachers' unions, NEA, and, you know, other concerns, even Chuck Knight. Nike invested in these private prisons. So if they are really concerned with that and they want to do something on a personal level rather than asking other people to do something, then they should show and put some skin in the game and tell their money managers, hey, look, take all investments I have in private prisons out. Don't you think so?
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. Because my thing is, if I'm going to own a buttload of stock, at least I want to know where my money's going to. And I would not invest in private. I would not invest in these private prisons. They wouldn't get any of my money. And as a matter of fact, we're going to talk about Jay-Z because he's got something. He's got a little bit to do with this also.
Well, Jay-Z's a businessman. Come on, leave him alone on that, man.
Right. Yeah. Well, no. He's
he
in this,
does
he's
a
in
damn
for the
job.
Money.
That's what he's
saying. He does this for the money. And see, and see, I was sitting on the fence on this for a while because I wasn't sure where he was coming from. Because people were asking me, I talked to my friends, and they were like, well, what do you think about this Jay-Z thing? I was like, I don't know. And I still kind of don't
it,
know because I don't know. I don't know what his end game is. I know he wants to make money. But,
you know how many prisons I built in Missouri? I built a medium prison on Hall Street for the city of St. Louis, done work there. Built the St. Louis County Justices. I built a prison in Bowling Green, Missouri, and also Vandalia, Missouri. You think I was going to turn those opportunities down? I didn't turn them down. I built the prisons. And what they do with them, who's
no,
them?
But they
that's not my responsibility.
Yeah, they full of black people, though.
I don't know who's in there. I mean, that's not my responsibility.
I
built a prison and had workers working for me.
I would guess
that
they're probably full of black and brown people. But
yeah,
I
had workers.
Well,
the city jail,
the
city jail, I know.
Well, the city jail is.
That's a, but the Bowling Green County Jail, I don't know who's in there. But those are my employees came to work, earned a wage and salary, had the pensions paid for, health and medical. That was my responsibility, and I've done that. But like I say, what do you think that in these municipalities, these people in your Ferguson and other municipalities, now, of course, now Chicago and New York, that's a whole different perspective. That's a different politics there. But these small municipalities are blacks of majority. They should control their own police department. If you don't want your police doing this, set the rules and the regulations that control your city employees. That's all I wanted to say.
Well, I read something interesting that the police don't like the idea of what is it, the snitching. But yet and still, you have the police, you have police departments that are full of white supremacists, that are full of KKK members, that are out there patrolling black neighborhoods and brown neighborhoods when they know they shouldn't be out there, but hey, they've got a badge.
Well,
they
out there because people hire.
They want to do. Right.
Yeah.
But see,
these municipalities don't have to hire.
They're breaking the law.
Yeah, but these municipalities don't have to hire them.
Well, I mean, it's been a while since I read, but you know that cop that killed Tamir Rice, he got off.
You're right.
I think he tried to get another job somewhere else.
Well, wait a minute.
So I mean,
where he came from, Anthony, the police chief where he came from said he didn't have any, he shouldn't have been hired there in Cleveland.
Right.
Darren Wilson, the
right.
police officer that shot Mike Brown, he came from Jennings. Okay, and they got rid of him because of the complaints of the citizens. Later on, Jennings
right.
dissolved this entire police department, and several other black municipalities around Ferguson dissolved their entire police department, came back with now what's called the North County Cooperative. Google it. And they hire from the community, and they also try to encourage young people in the high schools in those Normandy, Jennings, Ferguson, Florissant to pursue avenues that will lead them into the police department. Blacks already got the power to do that. You don't need no.
That would be great.
No,
that
you don't need to be putting NFL players' jobs on the line.
Well, I don't think he put. Well, he. I guess you could say he probably put his job, but he did what he did to bring attention to the problem. Now, you know, would I have done that? I don't know. I'm not a professional player, so I don't know if I'd done that. But at least
mm-hmm.
him doing what he did brought attention to what's going on because, you know, I've said this before and I'll keep saying it. Not all cops are dirty, but the dirty ones have got to go because they're not only controlling some people, but
they cause a lot of problems.
They're working for everybody. Right, so they're working for everybody.
But there should be
we got
hard
these cops
policing.
Out here.
There should be hard
yeah,
policing.
Yeah, I mean,
Anthony, look at Philadelphia where you had that one black man that was held up. He shot 6 police officers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He
yeah.
shot 6 police officers. And he
I'm
came out
alive.
And so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
But get this.
Yeah.
The damn people in the neighborhood start bricking the police. So what do you say about the mentality? They also brick federal marshals in Memphis that went after
but,
a fugitive.
But the reason why I think they did that is because of all these other stories with the police killing people out in the street. That's why they
well,
did
hell,
what they
this
did.
Man. But wait a minute, this man done shot 6 police officers, and the people
yeah.
gonna come up
and
brick
probably,
the police. There's something wrong
well,
with the mind
well,
of these folks.
Well, actually,
would you
I'm
done
surprised
that?
They got them. They got them alive. No,
well,
no
yeah.
I wouldn't even been out there because you know because the way these cops shoot, I might have got shot by mistake. So I wouldn't have been out there to begin with. But I'm actually surprised that they arrested them alive because you know I'm sitting there when I was seeing the story, I'm like, yeah, he. They're gonna fill him full of holes and they can justify it.
I knew of another one in Bell Fountain right next to Ferguson that shot 2 police officers, hitting their vest. He ran about a block and barricaded himself in his house in St. Louis County, which was white. They came and held him off and got him out. He's still living.
Let me talk a little bit about Jay-Z before I run out of time because we've
yes,
got,
sir.
Got
I'm sorry.
20, I got about 20.
I'll just continue to listen.
You're good. Okay, I just want to talk about this for just a few because as everybody knows, Jay-Z jumped into this. The grief that Jay-Z is getting, and it's coming from all fronts, before he got into this, whatever you want to call it, he got into he was telling other people not to do the Super Bowl halftime show and all this kind of stuff. So now all of a sudden he's gotten to this thing with the NFL. Reason why I don't have either way because I don't know all. I don't know the whole story. I don't know what his deal is. Only thing I know is that he's going to be doing. He's going to be putting together musical acts for, you know, certain things. You know, what the NFL is doing. Okay, that's all I know. I have no idea what else he's going to be doing. But the thing with him, he got. Matter of fact, lately he's got two things. He's got the first thing that people are getting on him about is that pretty much what I'm saying. Have no idea what he's doing because he hadn't come out and said it. And until he comes out and says what he's doing, I have no idea what he's doing. But he, let me give you the first one. Matter of fact, I think I got a clip for that. Oh, here it is. So here we go. So what his, I guess they're calling it the NFL Social Justice Initiative. He gave a group $200,000, and these people were, let me see if I can find the right name for this. Uh-oh, that's not it. There was a group that he gave this money to called Crushers Club. And this was in Chicago. And what this club was doing, and here's a case of you talking about vetting where your money's going. This club, they're pretty much, they're not down with Black Lives Matter, and they are pretty much on the side of cops. And this club, whatever you want to call it, what they do, matter of fact, the lady that that operates this club, they had a picture of her cutting dreadlocks out of this young man's head. And I think one of these clips, I want to say, one of these clips I got, I think they go into that. I think one of these clips, they go into it. But there's a picture of this lady. She's cutting the dreadlocks out of this young man's hair, saying that, you know, I think she was under the impression that dreadlocks, for some reason, have magical powers or superpowers or bad powers or whatever. And this chick's name is Sally Hazelgrove, and she's cutting dreads out of black teens' hair, talking about it's symbolic of change and their desire for a better life, blah, blah, blah. Well, if these teens want a better life and it's their hair, they can undo their plaits and get a haircut, do whatever. You know, don't need to have a picture of somebody cutting plaits out of somebody's head. But let me play this clip. And you've got people that are kind of like me, don't have an idea what's going on with this, with Jay-Z's organization. But let's play this and I'll be right back.
Jay-Z is under attack
We are in virgin territory here because I can't recall another time that there have been celebrities who are attacking Jay-Z.
Outraged.
Yeah, outraged at Jay-Z's new partnership with the NFL. We showed you, we told you that he had this meeting with Roger Goodell and with some members of the media, and it got very heated because we now have video from the meeting, and one person in particular, Charlamagne tha God, really did not hold back, went after Jay-Z and asked a question that everybody was thinking.
Can I just say, before we do it, you got to remember, Jay-Z boycotted the Super Bowl halftime earlier this year, over Colin Kaepernick, over them basically banishing him from the NFL because of the kneeling. So with that, coming back is what kind
right.
of sets everything off.
Exactly. And what the elephant in the room was, has Jay-Z turned his back on Colin Kaepernick? Here's how Charlamagne put it to Jay.
I think the biggest issue people have is they want to know how you could partner with a league on social justice when Colin Kaepernick, who brought it to the attention of the masses by peacefully protesting against social injustice, is still out of a job.
Yeah, that's a great question. There's two parts of protesting. You go outside and you protest, and then the company or the individual say, I hear you. What do we do next? Like, everyone heard, and we hear what you're saying, and everybody know, I agree with what you're saying. So what are we going to do? You know what I'm saying? So reach millions and millions of people, and or we get stuck on Colin not having a job.
So what he's saying now, is you balance out helping a lot of people, using the NFL as a device to do that, or helping Colin Kaepernick, and he's clearly here. And a lot of people think it's wrong.
And I also think that when Colin Kaepernick embarked on all of this, the idea was to spread awareness to some of the social injustices, to police brutality. And I think Jay-Z, it seems like to me, is now saying, hey, I have heard you. Now I'm in a position to actually do something about this. Thanks to you bringing this all to light. And now we're going to help.
Well,
we're going to bring this
I think the language, and one second, Vanek, so we want to play one more clip from inside the meeting, because another journalist put it to Jay-Z, quite frankly, asked the question, again, related to Colin Kaepernick, about kneeling.
Sir, put it this way, would you kneel or would you stand?
Okay, I think we've passed kneeling. Yeah, I think it's time to go into actionable items. I know we're stuck on it because it's a real thing, but it's a form of protest. I support protests across the board. We need to bring light to the issue. I think everyone knows what the issue is, and we're done with that.
Wow, it's just watching Roger Goodell nod his head like that, disgusting. Anyway, Jay-Z is right in terms of solving the problem is more important than anything else. But I think that something's missing here. And the part that's missing here is that this is another instance of a black man standing up for his culture, standing up for his people, and then having a large corporation cut his legs off. Cut his legs off and silence him, cut his legs off and deny him the opportunity to get back on the platform. This protest wasn't about the NFL. He wasn't protesting racism in the NFL. He was protesting things that were happening to people all over the country. And they, because of this, in my opinion, have effectively been able to turn the page on him. So while I understand that there are huge, huge issues that are going on, what I don't get is why people from Roc Nation weren't in contact with Colin Kaepernick when this was happening, knowing the ramifications of the announcement of the deal. And I also don't understand why he couldn't have been involved in this. Roger Goodell and the NFL owners wanted to move on from this. And there is not another black man in America with the capability to make the kneeling uncool better than Jay-Z could. Yeah. And that's essentially what they just did.
They did. So, and Jay-Z did it willingly. It wasn't like, you know, he made a conscious decision. I mean, I think he knew the implications of it.
There's a cultural trust that I have for Jay-Z that this is going to end up bearing fruit that will be good. I think that people are going to go out and they're going to do their best. The players are going to have control of some of these protests. But I just think that there's also something here. So I do agree that, or I do believe in the work that they're going to do. You have to,
right.
And you have to want that work to work.
Because you also don't want to think that I don't see Jay-Z as, like you said, you have a cultural trust in him. He's not going to, if he feels at any point he's being used, I think he'll walk.
Well, but a lot of people say he's being used right now, because remember,
but
did it bother you guys that the beginning of this whole thing was about the halftime show and music?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, when the NFL talked, they talked about a music deal and a concert deal. That's what they talked about. Like, when the question started, that's when we started getting into the social justice aspect of this. Listen, I don't think that this is worth, or not that it's not worth. I don't think that this should result in some kind of cultural civil war where it's a Jay-Z faction and a Colin Kaepernick faction. I don't think it has to be that. But what I will say, though, is that we have to protect one another, man. And if there's an injustice that's happening to one of us, especially one of us that put it on the line, I don't think that it should be so easy to partner up with the people that, in my opinion, perpetrated that injustice.
Well, and guess who just blasted, really, Jay-Z for this partnership? It's Colin Kaepernick's girlfriend, and she really laid it out. She said, how can Jay-Z and the NFL utter social justice in their partnership while keeping Colin unemployed because of his social justice work? She goes on. What is disgusting and disappointing is Jay-Z let them use him.
You know, and she said, don't tell me there's a master plan and wait for it, because the only reason anything would ever change is because the people are loud and clear and won't let the league buy their loyalty with their disingenuous moves. So she went after him. Also, Eric Reed, the NFL player who most famously stood by Colin and was also kneeling before games and continues to, I believe, and he said that, you know, these things are not mutually exclusive. You don't have to get the league to help millions and millions of people and also bury Collins' career. He says that he believes Jay-Z is helping the NFL bury Collins' career. So people being critical of Jay-Z like we have not heard ever before.
Hi, I'm Darielle Reed. I'm calling from Dallas, Texas. I just feel like people need to give Jay-Z a chance. He's always used his platform for good. He always has a few tricks up his sleeve, and I think that he could be a liaison to really initiate the tough conversations about our social issues in the community.
You got to see, too,
it will be
it's got to be received by Roger Goodell. You got to see how that works, right?
Well, I, Ben, you point out something. The way Roger Goodell was nodding when Jay-Z tried to push off
gross.
The it was
well, I mean just to me
it's
just
really
a little
bad.
Bit gross. The 32 NFL owners hire Roger Goodell. He represents them. Even that right there, man.
Right.
And that's but that there lies the problem.
New questions about the NFL's partnership with Jay-Z as Colin Kaepernick responds to Jay-Z's contention that the NFL has moved past kneeling. Eva Pilgrim here with the latest on that controversy. Good morning, Eva.
Good morning, guys. Jay-Z is hearing it this morning. Some calling him out for flip-flopping, once taking a stand against the NFL, now striking a deal with them.
Former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick seeming to throw shade at the biggest name in hip-hop after Jay-Z's recent press conference with the NFL.
I think we've passed kneeling. Yeah, I think it's time to go into actionable items.
Kaepernick, who sparked controversy for taking a knee during the national anthem, hoping, he says, to draw attention to police brutality and racial injustice, pointing out players who continue to kneel in protest, writing on Instagram, "They have never moved past the people and continue to put their beliefs into action. Stay strong, brothers." Jay-Z's entertainment company, Roc Nation, inking a new deal to make the rap superstar the league's live music entertainment strategist. The partnership allowing him a role in producing and selecting acts for NFL events, including this year's halftime show, as well as contributing to the league's activism arm.
Collins' whole thing was to bring attention to social injustice, correct? So in that case, right, this is a success, right? This is the next thing.
The hip-hop mogul was once one of the biggest names supporting the protest. Just last year, Jay-Z boasted about not needing the NFL.
I said no to the Super Bowl. You need me, I don't need you.
And even reportedly tried to talk rapper Travis Scott out of performing at the championship earlier this year.
So Jay-Z, to be clear, says he isn't telling people not to kneel if that's what they think is best. He took a lot of questions about this when they made the announcement. He says he's an action person. And going on, he says, "We hear you. What's next?"
Well, that's the big question, right? I mean, he raised so many eyebrows with this announcement, but nobody has a firm idea on what exactly he's going to do in this partnership.
At this point, we all have to wait and watch and see what Jay-Z plans.
Yep.
Okay.
Thanks, Eva.
Donald Trump's beef with the NFL has left a lot of people with a lot of questions. But the question that has come up for me once again is, when is the right time for black people to protest? Everyone has a different answer. For me, it's right before lunch, because that's when I'm hangry, right? And after lunch, I get the itis. I'm not effective. But if you want to know when black people should protest, you've got to go right to the source. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
I think what the president is saying is that the owner should have a rule that players should have to stand in respect for the national anthem. This isn't about Democrats. It's not about Republicans. It's not about race. It's not about free speech. They can do free speech on their own time.
Is it not about their First Amendment rights?
No, it's not. They have the right to have their First Amendment off the field.
It's a little weird getting free speech advice from a guy who doesn't speak freely. My words are trapped in a prison of teeth.
But okay, fine. I hear what Mnuchin is saying. He's not against the players protesting. He just doesn't like it when they do it on the field. You know, when everyone's watching. Yeah, do it somewhere else. Can you imagine Mnuchin giving that advice to Rosa Parks? He would just be like, "Hey, Rosa, why are you protesting on the bus? Huh? People have places to be. Take the bus to your house. Sit down on your couch and protest from home. Boom, racism solved. It's solved." And you know what? So the Trump administration is okay with protesting, right? They're okay, as long as it's on your own time. Unless you're ESPN commentator Jemele Hill criticizing the president on your private Twitter feed, then that's a fireable offense too, right? Although I do understand where Trump is coming from, because Twitter is his workplace, so it's a different thing. But I get it. You do it not in public. Here's another example. Over the weekend, Stevie Wonder took a knee on his own time, in his own show. And even then, a former Republican congressman tweeted, "Stevie Wonder takes a knee for the anthem during a concert. Another ungrateful black multimillionaire." Ungrateful to whom? I'm fascinated by that concept. People always say, ungrateful to whom? This idea that black people should be grateful is some sneaky-ass racism. Yeah, because when a white billionaire spends a year screaming that America is a disaster, he's in touch with the country. But when a black man kneels quietly, he should be grateful for the successes America has allowed him to have? How is that ungrateful? I don't understand. You know what would be ungrateful? What would be ungrateful is if Stevie Wonder got his sight back and then started complaining about colors. That would be ungrateful. If he was like, hey man, if he was just like, hey man, what the f*** is up with pink? That's a garbage ass color. I'd be like, all right, Stevie, you're being ungrateful, Stevie. You're being ungrateful. Yeah, it almost feels like white people earn the money, but black people are given it.
They play a game for a living. They make millions of dollars. They're ungrateful millennial millionaires who won't stand for their own anthem.
I wish some of these players who get on one knee during the national anthem would get on both knees and thank God they live in the United States of America.
For they're not only free to earn millions of dollars every year, but they're also free from the worry of being shot in the head for taking a knee like they would be if they were in North Korea.
Okay, wait. You think black Americans are free from the worry of being shot by agents of the state? That's the whole thing that they're protesting in the first place. That's exactly what they're protesting. In fact, if black Americans went to North Korea, they wouldn't get shot just for being black. Just ask Ambassador Dennis Rodman. It wouldn't happen. So again, when is the right time to protest? Well, according to Trump's press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, it's not the when that's a problem, it's the how that black people are getting wrong.
I think if the debate is really for them about police brutality, they should probably protest the officers on the field that are protecting them instead of the American flag.
Oh, I see. Oh, don't protest the flag. Protest the police officers that are on the field. So if you do that, then no one will complain.
Can you just clarify that, are you encouraging NFL players to protest police?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I was kind of pointing out the hypocrisy.
Oh, wait, you were just being sarcastic. Well, that's a great use of the White House. Nicely done. Yeah, but you see, you still haven't told us the right way for black people to protest. I mean, we know it's wrong to do it in the streets. It's wrong to do it in the tweets. You cannot do it on the field. You cannot do it if you've kneeled. And don't do it if you're rich, you ungrateful son of a bitch. Because there's one thing that's a fact. You cannot protest if you're black.
So that's the last clip for tonight. But yeah, it's, you know, hopefully I won't have to talk about this again soon, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, the thing with the Jay-Z thing, I'm still waiting for him to, I guess, clarify what his partnership is exactly. And then maybe,
you know what,
once I find
Anthony,
out what he's talking about, then maybe I can have a, you know, whatchamacallit. Yeah.
What I want to know is what do people expect the NFL to do in police brutality and racial inequality?
Well, they don't expect them to solve the problem. They don't expect them, because I'm not expecting them to solve the problem. All I'm expecting them to do is keep doing their thing on Sundays and, you know, give me quality football and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't think they're expecting them to do anything. What he did was just bring this to light, because there's probably a lot of people that, you know, that either not paying attention to what's happening, or there's a lot of people just don't give a damn to what's happening. You know, because as long as it don't affect me, I'm good. You know, so
yeah, but is that not right? Because their only concern is within their own municipality when it comes down to employee behavior, right? I mean,
yeah. So if these teams are going out to the communities, right? No, North Carolina.
Man, did y'all survive? You survived the storm? I guess you did.
Oh yeah, we got a little bit of rain and some wind, and that was about it.
Well, look,
yeah,
I have no control of what goes on with the police department in Wilmington, North Carolina. I'm in Missouri and the South, so in essence, that's the way it is. Now, if it was the U.S. military, well, then being a U.S. citizen, then we would have some say-so or want to have some say-so on what the U.S. military does. But municipal police, we don't. And what I want to know is what is it that Colon wants to be seen done in the two issues that he brought up? I mean, could they explain? Maybe you can investigate that and have it on the next program.
I'll see what I can do. I've got about a couple of minutes left. So, but what I will say, I think next week I'm not sure what I'll be doing, but what I'll be talking about. But I'm on vacation next week, so maybe next week we can go a little bit longer with the program, whatever I talk about. But I will say this about the cops. What they need to do is they need to clean themselves up, because, like I said, there are a lot of people in the police departments all over the place.
That's still up to the people.
Right.
You know why? Because police that's here today, 5 years from now, they won't be there. So whatever verbal, unless it's something put in policy set by their boss, that's the only thing that's long-lasting and efficient. If what a group of police achieve today won't be chief tomorrow. I'm going to let you get on with your program.
Yeah.
You better ready to get off.
Actually. Okay. All right. I appreciate the call as usual.
All right, then.
I will say, okay. All right. I will say this before I go. I'm not sure what I'll be talking about next week, but we may be able to go till about 9. I'm on vacation next week, so I may have some extra time. Matter of fact, I'm getting ready to grab some dinner, and then I'm going to hit the sack. But I will say this about the police brutality. A lot of these cops, and I only know the cops that I know, what I used to work with, that there are some crooked cops in a lot of these police departments. And they were probably getting away with a whole lot of crooked things before the cameras came around. And so they can't get, they can't do the stuff that they used to do. What needs to happen is a lot of these police departments need to clean up themselves. And these cops need to remember that they are on the job to protect everybody. It is not their job to go out and just kill people and then lie about it. Now, I understand the job is stressful. I understand all that. But if you're going to sit up here and try to get me to, agree that killing a 12-year-old kid with a toy gun is okay, that a guy walking around in Walmart with a pellet gun getting killed in Walmart for that is okay. If you're going to sit there and tell me that somebody, getting their license out of their pocket and getting shot and killed is okay, it is not okay. Ain't none of that okay. And I've said this before and I'll say it again. If those police officers, if they're too much of punks to be cops and they're scared of everything that moves, then maybe they should go get another job. FedEx and UPS is always hiring. Go find another job if you can't do your job as being a cop. A lot of cops on the force are bullies. They were bullies growing up. They're bullies now, but the difference is they're bullies with a badge and bullies with a gun. So a lot of this stuff needs to be cleaned up with them from the inside. And I think he took a knee and he said what he, you know, to put it out there because a lot of stuff wasn't out there, and now we're aware of it. Excuse me. And unfortunately, a lot of these cops are still doing the same thing. They're still killing people out in the street. They're still doing all this crooked stuff. And then what happens is when they get shot and then they get killed, and all of a sudden we're supposed to feel sorry for them, but forget about the people out there in the street that they're just shooting in cold blood. And it's like, well, you know, he shouldn't have been doing what he was doing. Well, he wasn't doing anything. Well, he shouldn't have been, you know, there's always an excuse for the victim. But when these cops get shot, and I ain't saying, you know, shoot cops or anything, but what I'm saying is, you know, when these victims get killed, you know, there's always an excuse. But when the cops get shot, you know, oh, you know, we got to feel sorry for them before we even get the story and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I applaud them for taking the knee, you know. And I didn't get a chance to play that clip about the national anthem. Whenever you get a chance, look up third verse national anthem. Get the background on Francis Scott Key. He was a dick. And, you know, I didn't play the clip. I didn't have time, but oh well. Google it. Google Francis Scott Key and get the whole story and then figure out, and then, you know, go online and find the third verse. And you'll see what I'm talking about. I'll be back next Tuesday, 7 o'clock. We may go till 9 next week, depending on what I talk about. But I'll let you know. And also, if there's a quarterback out there that's got better stats, feel free to call me next week. The line will still be open. See ya. Peace out.